Well, a warm welcome to everybody joining us online. Hi to our West Tonka campus, and a special shout out to my Bush Lake friends. I miss you guys, but I'm going to see you next week. A warm welcome to everybody that is in the room today. As Pastor Dave said, I'm Pastor Claire. I stepped into the role of the campus pastor at Bush Lake on Easter Sunday, so I'm never going to forget that day, right? And it's been a privilege and a blessing for both my husband Joel and I to have been a part of this family for a little over 2 years now. I do have a photograph in case you couldn't see me high-fiving my husband there. There he is. Now, he's a very handsome Puerto Rican, and I am a Brit, and so we like to affectionately refer to one another as Brit-Rican, right? That is our family. We are a Brit-Rican family. Joel is my partner in every single way, and he works as a Spanish medical interpreter, serving families out in the community with interpretation services. And it is just a joy to be able to bring the Word of God to you here today. Hopefully, you can tune into my accent. It's a good one, huh? You guys like it. I could just read off the back of a soup can, and you guys would be like, yeah, whatever, I'll do whatever you tell me. No. Always test the word. That's what it says. So anyway, I became a believer at the age of 17 in the city of Exeter, which is where I'm from in England, the southwest of England, beautiful historical city. And at the age of 17, I was baptized within a month. And I threw myself into serving at the local church. I was painting walls, I was in kids ministry, I was in production, I was terrible at that. You would not want me back there today. And hospitality, all the things. I was just overjoyed to have a new life in Christ and to have found a church family that loved me and cared for me. Fast forward about 10 months after that, and I'm walking down the street on a sunny, hot day in England. Yes, we do get sunny, hot days sometimes. And we're walking down the street, and I noticed that there was a beggar begging outside one of the stores. Now, normally, up until that point, I would have just carried on walking by because that's what I just did. But in that moment, I felt a strong God prompting to buy this man and his dog on this hot day some water. And like any good Christian, I tried to ignore that God prompting and just keep walking on by because that's what we're tempted to do sometimes, right? But then it came again, this strongest urge from the Holy Spirit, buy this man some water. So I walked on trembling legs into the store and I get some water for the man and his dog, very hot day. I approach this guy, I hand over the water, I say, God bless you, and therein ends that interaction. So you might have been expecting a more dramatic end to that story, but in that moment, God was doing a deep work of discipleship in me. He was teaching me that my faith was not to be lived privately. He was teaching me that my faith was not just to be lived within the confines of the church wall. He was teaching me that to be his disciple meant that I needed to be out on mission in his world to those who desperately needed him. Since that day, those who know me know that both Joel and I carry a passion for helping those who are unhoused. But he's also continued to teach me that to be his ambassador means that we are called to go out, to share his love with a world that so desperately needs him, and to see his kingdom come here on earth as it is in heaven. Today, we're going to be continuing with our sermon series on Be and Love, the formation pathway that we are rolling out here at Westwood. We are noticing together how Jesus had different dimensions to his discipleship. And if we are truly to be and love like him, then we also need to reflect these different dimensions through our life. We've been showing you this image of a triangle every week, but maybe it's your first time here today. And even if it's not, it's important to have a refresher. The first movement is that we love God with the love that he has given to us. We give our love back to God in worship. We love to worship, right? The second movement is within, this movement of discipleship that gives God's love back to ourselves. The third movement Pastor Joel spoke about last week is in. We share God's love with one another in Christian community. And the fourth, which I will be addressing today, is out. We live out the love of God to the world around us. Jesus was on mission. And if we are to be his disciples, then so are we. In Matthew 22, verses 27 to 29, Jesus gives us the greatest commandment. And the words say this: love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. That's the up movement, giving love to God. This is the first and greatest commandment. He then goes on to say, love your neighbor. That's the out movement. As you love yourself, that's the in within movement, the within movement. Jesus explicitly tells us here that to be his disciple means that we are going to love our neighbor. And so as his disciples, we need to have an outward focus towards those who are poor, those who are broken, those who are lost. And there's many different types of poverty. Often we think, well, financial, but you can also be spiritually poor, for example. There's many different types of brokenness: mental, physical, relational, emotional. All of those who live without the hope and love of Christ in their life, they are lost. They are lost. And that is the neighbors that God is calling us to reach today. I think that this one, this movement, is the hardest for us to get our head around in this culture today. We likely enjoy the up, worshiping God, right? We like coming, singing songs, reading the scripture, prayer. We understand that we have to be in Christian community, even if they're a bit cranky sometimes. We know we need to be alongside one another. Maybe what Pastor Dale preached within is a little bit unfamiliar to us, but life is still attractive that we are God's beloved. But to go out? No, thank you. I don't want to do that. I just want somebody else to go and do that. Leaving the comfort, safety, security of our homes and churches, maybe someone else can do that for me. You might even have the false notion that to go out is only for the few, is only for a few qualified people. But I'm going to burst your bubble here today with what the Word of God teaches us about this. So 2 Timothy 4, 3 through 5 says this: for the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. Does that sound familiar? But you, keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. Do the work of an evangelist. The word for evangelist here is bringer of good tidings. And so if we are to follow Christ, that means that we bring his love, we bring the good tidings of his gospel to those who do not yet know him, so they can hear and experience about a God who loves them and enter into his kingdom with us. Now, there are two spiritual practices that we can engage in today to help us live this out dimension of discipleship. The first spiritual practice is service. Service. And I have this definition here for you today. This has been inspired by John Mark Comer from Practicing the Way. Service is using our gifts, time, and resources to meet the needs of others and advance God's kingdom. Notice something about this definition. Service is not just meeting the needs of others, is also advancing God's kingdom. Because when we serve other people, we are being transformed into Christ-likeness and we are sharing his love through our acts of service. The second spiritual practice is witness. And we don't like the word witness, do we? Because we think we're going to have to be salespeople for Christ. We think that we're going to have to convince or argue somebody into the kingdom. That is not our job. And I love the definition that Pastor Clint brought in the first sermon of this series. Go back and listen to that if you did not. He said this: to be a witness is to bear evidence, to reflect something real that you've seen, heard, and experienced yourself. Jesus says that to be a witness is to be a city on a hill. A city on a hill is bright, and it draws people to its welcome. For us as Christ followers, we are to shine brightly his love, drawing other people to him through our words and through our deeds. To help us understand a little bit more today about this outward movement of discipleship, I've chosen to bring a scripture here, Acts chapter 3. We're going to learn from the lives of Peter and John what it means to live a life of service and witness. So if you have your Bibles with you, if you have it on your phone, that's also fine. I don't mind. And you can turn there. It's also on the teaching screen here. So Acts chapter 3, I'm going to start by reading 1 through 3. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Now, at this time, Jewish people were going to the temple to pray and offer an animal sacrifice in the afternoon. Now, Peter and John did not go to the animal sacrifice because they believed that what that represented was fulfilled in the life of Jesus and the death and resurrection of Jesus. But they were still going to the temple to pray and maybe even share about Jesus with those who were gathered there. Now, a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. At that time, there was a strong tradition amongst the Jewish people of almsgiving, of giving to the poor. So very often, the gates would be surrounded by beggars asking for money. When he, the beggar, saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. He felt he had no other hope to survive than to beg. I wonder if we were the people in this story approaching not a temple, but our church for worship, and we saw a person in homelessness sat right outside, what would we do? Would we walk on by like I confessed I did at the start of my sermon here today? Would we give a few coins over trying to appease our own guilty conscience? Or would we listen to the God prompting to live an outward life toward others? It's not that we can help everybody in every situation. We are not God. But we need to live a life that is open to his promptings in the lives of other people. Let's read on to see what Peter and John did here. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from him. Peter and John say to this man, "Look." And they pause. They pause and ask him to return the gaze. Now, this may not seem like a big deal to us, so let me give you some more context here. In Acts chapter 4, it says that this man had been lame from birth. He was over 40 years of age at this point. Imagine the hopelessness of having not walked all of your life. He would have felt shame because he had to rely on other people for even the most basic needs in his life. He would also have been ostracized by some in the spiritual community. At that time, they believed that physical disability was as a result of sin entering the world. And some took it to the extreme. They would say that somebody's individual disability came about as a result of their individual sin. And before we think, well, that's really terrible, don't we do the same today when we judge other people for being lost? When we try and guess, well, why is this person in this situation? Surely it's of their own doing. In doing that, we are ostracizing people from the community and family where they should find the greatest and the biggest welcome. So this man, he was pretty broken. He had a lot of baggage, just like many people that we see around us day by day. So much so that he had not even looked up from the floor. He was so ashamed, he couldn't even meet their gaze. And Peter and John said to this man, "Look at us." Can you imagine the worth and the dignity that that conferred on that person in that moment who was so used to being overlooked? And this leads to my first point today about how to live an out life, how to live out this outward motion. And that is to live out looks like being present to others. To live out looks like being present to others. Serving those outside our walls demands presence. It demands open eyes and attentive hearts. It means truly seeing other people as God-valued creation. Peter and John conferred worth and dignity on this man in that moment. Who is God asking us to stop? Who is he asking us to see in our neighborhood, in our community, in our world around us? When I first came to the U.S. in 2019, I served at Union Gospel Mission a lot at the men's campus. There was 400 men and one social worker when I arrived, so can you imagine the burden of that one person? So I came in and I stepped in alongside. I would do a lot of advocacy work for the clients that lived there. And I was shocked to learn that some people who are unhoused truly believe that they are invisible. Because of the stigma, because of being socially avoided, because of the mental burden, because of their lack of voice, they mentally disconnect, so much so that they believe that they are invisible. I actually had a client sit in front of me one day and say, "Well, you can't see me, can you?" And that moment just broke me. Yeah, I can see you. But he truly believes that he was invisible. While at Union Gospel Mission, I learned the importance of serving somebody with eye contact, of giving them a smile. This is not difficult, guys. To live an outward movement means just noticing, acknowledging, being present. The miracle that is still to come in this part of Scripture did not start in prayer. It did not start with God breaking through right away with the miracle. It started with presence. It started with the acknowledgement of this man. Augustine of Hippo, he lived in the late Roman Empire and has been very influential in early church history. He has this quote that I want to share with you today. "What does love look like? It has the hands to help others. It has the feet to hasten to the poor and needy. It has eyes to see misery and want. It has the ears to hear the sighs and sorrows of men. That is what love looks like. Hands to help. Feet to hasten, eyes to see, ears to hear." This is what kingdom love looks like. Let's be people that pause long enough in the pressures and busyness of our own lives to be present, to see the poor, the lost, and the broken, see them as somebody deeply valued and loved by God. What would we do if we saw someone begging outside church? I hope that now we will at least give eye contact and smile, pause to be present. Let's read on in the scripture today. Verse 6, "Then Peter said, 'Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk.' He says, 'I don't have money, but I'm still willing to share what I do have.' And what he did share was simple words of witness. We sometimes think that to witness means we have to have the Roman road, you know, down, like the gospel presentation, we've got to be perfect at it. We sometimes think we've got to share our whole life story in order to make it effective, but no. Peter teaches us in this moment that witness simply means sharing the name of Jesus sometimes. In this moment, he was teaching this man that Jesus was a healer just by those simple words, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." This leads to my second point today, that to live out looks like being generous to others. To live out looks like being generous to others. Here at Westwood, we live with open hands, right? Gratefully receiving from God and joyfully giving away. But I have a couple of challenges for us here. Firstly, we need to move beyond seeing generosity as just an act of kindness. Acts of kindness are lovely. But people in our world do acts of kindness who don't even know Christ. Acts of service, when we do them in Jesus' name, are actually acts of redemption. They are bringing restoration to a world that so desperately needs love. It's expressing God's kingdom here on earth. I also think that we need to move away from seeing generosity, joyfully giving, as just giving of our finance. It's very easy in our culture and in our context to go, well, it's okay, I'll write the check, I'll make the gift, then I've done my part. Now, while financial generosity is key, it's an important spiritual principle, it's not the only way, and sometimes it's not the most needed way to live out toward others in that moment. Sometimes, as we've heard, people need our presence. They need our joyful prayers. They need our generous word of witness. They need a friend. They need a mentor. They need advocacy. They need justice. They need to hear about a God who loves them, sometimes even more than they need financial assistance. Living out means joyfully giving what we have, and that's everything. Everything, everything. And yes, if God has blessed us financially, yes, that means finances too. Please don't hear me saying you can stop giving of your finances. Pastor Joel would fire me. So don't do that. you still have to give of your finances, but don't stop there. I think the temptation for us is to stop there. Give of yourself, your time, your talents as well. And maybe you're listening to me and you're like, I do not have 2 cents to rub together. Like, I cannot. I have no money to give. Then I hope this is an encouragement to you, that you can still live a meaningful life of service and of witness toward others. I'm going to tell you a story today of when I was pastoring in England. One day I arrive at church and I look in the parking lot and in the corner there is a bright pink tent. And so I go over to the tent. I sit on the floor and I speak to the person that is within. Just a hint and tip, if you're speaking to somebody who's unhoused, always sit on the floor and never, ever, ever go into their tent unless you are welcomed in there. But I'd learned that the hard way, so I'm sharing it with you. So I sit on the floor, I'm talking to the person within. And what I did not know in that moment is that that conversation would lead to a year's worth of discipleship alongside the tent's inhabitant. Now, the tent's inhabitants also included Roxy, and I have a picture of Roxy to show you today. There she is, Roxy the dog. Now, sometimes Roxy would come to church and her owner would not. She would run in, he'd open the door, she'd run in, and then she'd sit on the front row, she'd listen to me preaching very attentively, and then she would run back out again, while her owner was just fast asleep all through my sermon, which is fine. What I learned through journeying with my friend in the pink tent is that generosity looks like a lot more than money. We actually never even shared any finance with him, but what we did have to give, we gave. God's love, friendship, basic needs, advocacy, and I also used to offer prayer a lot. But sometimes he wouldn't want me to pray for him. Sometimes he wanted me to pray for Roxy the dog. And I have prayed and I've anointed with oil many dogs in my time. And so if you have questions about the theology of that, I'm throwing Pastor Dave under the bus today. He can answer that question for you. But after a year of journeying with Roxy and her owner, they were able to be housed and they're still housed today, which is a miracle. We praise God for that. But you know, I really did learn that generosity looks like a lot of different things. And to be open to the prompting of God in that. I learned a lot from my friend in the pink tent, probably more than I ever taught him, to be perfectly honest with you. And so I wonder today, who is in your pink tent? Who is in your pink tent? It may not be somebody who is homeless. It may be your elderly neighbor. It might be your stressed out coworker. It could be your sick family friend. It could be somebody in another country that's waiting for you to go tell them that God loves them. But God has somebody in all of our lives in a pink tent waiting for us to serve and to witness to. And like Peter, are you willing to say to them, all that I have, I give to you? To live out means to be generous to others, giving in our time, our talent, and our treasure. The last couple of verses I'm going to read today are verses 7-8. Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. Peter, in faith, reaches out a hand to help and pulls this man up, and a miracle happens. This is what kingdom come looks like on earth as it is in heaven. The man is healed. But this inspires my last point to help us live out today. To live out means being available for God to use us in the lives of others. Being available for God to use us in the lives of others. This is good news. We do not serve and witness in our own strength and power, but in God's strength and power. This beggar received more from God than he ever hoped for. He was looking for a few coins, and he was completely healed. His life was transformed. And Peter and John in that moment were available for God to use them as he willed. I think if it was me, I would have been scrabbling around looking for some coins on the floor, in my pockets, in the bottom of my bag, right? But the reality is Peter and John just gave what they had. They were available to God, and then a miracle took place. Really, we don't always know what to do to help other people, truly. We don't. But God always does. Let's rely on him to show us the way. Show us how to live out a life of service and witness. Let's be available to him. After all, it's his kingdom coming here on earth and not our own ideals and ideas. I noticed when I read this scripture that this man was not healed as he was sat on the ground. God could have done it, right? He could have. Peter had to reach out his hand in faith and pull this man up. And that's when the miracle happened. Who is God be asking you to be available to reach out a hand and pull up today? And in your so doing, are you trusting that as you reach out your hand and pull, that he is going to meet you there and do more than you could ever ask, think, or imagine in the life of the other? You know, I was always wondering what is going through Peter and John's mind in this moment. We think that they are superhuman. They are not. They were human just like us, walking on trembling legs towards this beggar. And they just gave of what they had. All that I have, I give to you. And they watched God do the rest through their willing availability. One of my favorite missionaries from history is Hudson Taylor. He is a British missionary, so maybe I'm a bit biased, huh? But he was a British missionary to China. And he teaches us about availability here in this quote. I used to ask God to help me. Then I asked if I might help him. I ended up asking him to do his work through me. Notice the difference there? I used to ask God to help me. God, help me with my plans and my ideas and my ideals. Then I asked if I might help him. That seems good, but really what he means by that is, God, do you want me to help you with what I think your idea is, what I think your plan is? The better way is asking him to do his work through us as his church. Living out means being available to be used by God in the lives of others. Now, if you're here today and you're saying yes to this outward motion of discipleship, there is a couple of ways that you can further engage with this. Firstly, you can text the word out to the number that's going to be up on the screen, and you'll be sent a text to help you dive deeper into this dimension of discipleship. Have we got the number, guys, or no? Oh, yeah, good. Oh, there it is. Yeah, I forget. I don't know if it's here, there, or anywhere. The screen's all over the place. Here you go. That's great. This text will send you a scripture that will help you to dive deeper into this outward movement, and you can also opt in for a few more text messages this week if you so choose. And secondly, we have blessed booklets available as you leave today in the literature racks. At the campuses, you will also have them there too. And these blessed booklets outline a way of outward living. And to tell us a little bit more about that, I'm going to invite my friend and colleague, Matt, to come and share with us about this. Matt is not only my colleague, he's my friend, and I know that he lives this outward motion all the time of service and witness. So I can't think of anybody better to tell us more about blessed today than Matt. So can we welcome Matt today?
Thank you. Well, thank you, Claire. I just want to offer two things to you quick this morning. The first is a review. If you've been around Westwood for any amount of time, you've probably heard Pastor Joel or one of our other pastors talk about the blessed practices, these five practices that are based on the Abrahamic covenant that we find in Genesis chapter 12, that we will be blessed to be a blessing. So the question is how do we be a blessing? Well, there's five practices that we can put into our lives, and as they become a rhythm to our lives, daily, weekly, monthly, we'll begin to live our lives in a much more outward way. And we're going to go through these five practices. BLESS is an acronym, and the first is B is to begin with and be in prayer. Now, I do this when I take my dog out for walks. I prayer walk the neighborhood, and I'm praying for the houses as I go by. I had a woman in the last service who told me that she actually goes prayer driving, which is cool, but if you close your eyes when you pray, I'm just not going to suggest that one. But whatever it is that you are beginning with and being in prayer, that is the allowing God to do his work through us. The second is L, is to listen with compassion. Because as we're praying for people and we're spending time, we're going to hear from them. And we need to listen. And I know it seems like when we're going to be living as a witness or an evangelist, we should begin by talking. But it's by listening that we truly hear what people need to hear and what is good news for them. The E in BLESS is to eat a meal together. It's because being around the table opens up storytelling. It opens up an avenue to go deeper with people and hear more of their story. The first S is to serve in love. Because as we're praying for people and as we're listening to them, we're going to hear things about their lives in little subtle ways in which we can serve them. Doesn't always have to mean going out and serving at a location or on a project. It can be serving your neighbor right across the street and something they may really need in that moment. And the final S is to share our story. And our story is our most powerful evangelistic tool, because the story of a transformed life can do more to shape people's understanding of what it means to follow Jesus. And I know for this one, I understand it's kind of tough for some people. They've told me, you know, I don't have a very dramatic story. My story is that, you know, I gave my heart to the Lord at 5 and I've been following him ever since. And to me, I say, let that be your story. Because you have neighbors and family members and maybe friends who their whole life have searched for love, joy, peace, patience, and all the things of the world, and they have not tried Jesus. And for you to tell them, I've followed Jesus from the time I'm 5 and I'm still rocking with him today, that's a testament to God's goodness in your life. So now if you're interested in hearing more about this, I got a great invitation for you. I want to invite all of you to dinner, not at my house, but here at Westwood, at the Chanhassen campus on Wednesday night. We are going to have the Blessed Dinner. You can sign up for it by hitting that QR code there, going on our website, finding it on the app. But at the Blessed Dinner, we're going to share stories of the blessed practices. We're going to share different ways in which you can live out these practices in your life. And for all of our friends at Bush Lake and West Tonka, we're coming to all the campuses throughout the year. West Tonka will be in the winter. Bush Lake will be in the spring. And also, the best thing for any of you with family and with kids, we have childcare for 5th grade and under. They're going to have a pizza party downstairs. Anyone 6th grade and up, you're welcome to join us in room 112 on Wednesday night. So with that, I'll give it back to Claire and let her close us out this morning. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Jeff. Oops. I encourage you all to go on Wednesday night and just to hear more about this tool that we can resource you with to live out. But just to conclude today, I have a quote from George Eldon Ladd. He's an American New Testament theologian. And he says, it's not the church's business in this world to simply make the present condition more bearable. The task of the church is to release here on earth the redemptive work of God in Christ. We're not here to just do acts of kindness. We're not here to just try to make the present condition more bearable. We are here in his strength and power to bring his kingdom come and his will be done. His work of redemption and restoration to a world that desperately needs it. His redemptive work is the only work that can bring a lasting change into eternity here on this world. And to be honest, His redemptive work is the only lasting work in our own lives too, and we know it if we follow Christ. Whether it's serving your neighbor, whether it's witnessing to a friend, whether it's being present to a stranger on a street corner, whether it's being generous to the lost in prison, whether it's being available to be used of God in the lives of the widow, the orphan, whether it might even mean saying a yes to going to another country to tell them that God loves them, just as he asked me to do, God has a work for each of us to bring his redemptive love and hope to others. Today, my hope and my prayer is that as we leave this place, we will commit to a life of service and witness, all for his glory. I'm just going to conclude in a prayer today. If you would like to open your hands as a sign of just receiving from God, because remember, what we get from God, we get to joyfully give away to others. Maybe you're here in this place and you're like, I don't really identify with Peter and John. I actually identify more with the beggar. Well, may this prayer also be a blessing and encouragement to you here today. May it bring you peace and hope. This prayer is going to be from St. Clement of Rome. He was a bishop in the first century. You can tell I like the oldies, huh? But this prayer is just beautiful, and I pray that it touches you and that you will join with me today in saying yes and amen. We ask you, Master, to be our helper and defender. Save those among us who are in distress. Have mercy on the humble. Raise up the fallen. Show yourself to those in need. Heal the sick. Bring back those of your people who have gone astray. Feed the hungry. Ransom our prisoners. Raise up the weak. Comfort the faint-hearted. Let all the nations know that you are God alone, and that we are your people and the sheep of your pasture. It's in your holy name that we pray this, Jesus. Amen. Amen.